Whenever you see a crash like this, you absolutely know you're nowhere near late. In fact, you're still, you know, at the beginning of the line.
What happens if Bitcoin tanks to 30? Well, what happens if it goes up to 5 million? You know, like, just you need to prepare yourself mentally for any scenario.
First, on behalf of Britain, I just want to make a very formal apology that some of my fellow countrymen would put such utter nonsense and consistent garbage out into the world, because it's not helpful, it's not misleading, it's sometimes entertaining, I'll give you that.
Hey everyone, welcome to another episode of Bitcoin Banter. I have Rick and Tony with me. Gents, let's jump right into the news. Markets are in turmoil. Analysts say over $9 trillion in global stock market value has been wiped out in the last 2 days. I think this was a day or two ago maybe, but a lot of value gone, drawing comparisons to the 08 financial crisis. Rick, I'll let you take this one first, man. What do you think? What's the... I'm just curious where people are going to flock to, right? I mean, they're obviously selling off equities. There's a lot of market uncertainty. We've seen a lot of action in gold. Bitcoin is still down, though inching its way back up at the time of this recording. What do you think's going on?
Yeah, well, it's an interesting one, right? And I think it's risky to come out and actually start making any predictions of what we think comes next, which I know you can get on a lot of other YouTube channels and from a lot of other influencers, right? A lot of predictions of how they think this will all play out. And typically they fall into two camps. One, which would be sort of a fan of Trump and say, well, this is some sort of 4D chess. You know, he's trying to, you know, very few people own stocks in America as a percentage of the population. And it's a way to give back to the middle classes and you know, bring prices and more manufacturing to the US and bring prices down. And then on the other side of the fence, you have people who think this is the worst idea ever. You know, it's an attack on free trade. It's going to be hugely inflationary. Things will get more expensive and we'll end up in a recession. So, yeah, there's two extremes here, really. And I'm not going to profess to know what I think is going to happen next. But there is one thing that I'm pretty confident of. And I think that a lot of this chaos is caused perhaps intentionally, because I think the US finds itself in a place where the debt is so unsustainable now that, you know, they have to weaken the dollar. You have to weaken the dollar because you're in such an unsustainable amount of debt. When you refinance, you want a weaker dollar. So the takeaway I would have from that as a Bitcoiner is, you know, the play is still the same. You cannot be sitting in dollars. That's a terrible idea. You know, you can call it 4D chess, but to me, it looks a lot like an excuse to turn on the money printer and keep the Ponzi going. And if that's the case, then, you know, the case for Bitcoin gets even stronger, right? Well, I mean, it's always been this way, but if they print money forever, it's going to lose value. And Bitcoin will perform well in that environment. But perhaps maybe one thing I find a little disappointing about it, and this is just a personal thing, is I think there's going to be a lot of Bitcoiners that, you know, if the Fed reduces rates and the money printer turns back on, they're going to be celebrating this and cheering about it and getting excited about it, because, you know, necessarily it's likely to pump the price of Bitcoin as measured in these, you know, devaluing dollars. I'm not so convinced that that's such a great thing to celebrate. You know, for me, Bitcoin and this whole movement has not been about getting excited when you turn the money printer on. It's always been about being excited that we might destroy the money printer altogether. You know, that's the real purpose. And the scary thing for me is that if they do start printing money extremely aggressively, then it's going to hasten the demise of fiat currencies. And if it happens too quickly, it's going to cause carnage and chaos. And, you know, who knows, maybe America does well with this tariff strategy in the long term, but I don't see a scenario where the short term isn't extremely painful for most people in the world, including Americans, and even more so if they just shred the value of all these fiat currencies. So look, the main reason I'm interested in Bitcoin is it's a way to opt out of this and stay, you know, relatively distant from the crazy decisions that governments and central banks are going to make over the next few years. You know, the challenging thing that I'm sure some people are struggling with at the moment is that Bitcoin has sold off along with all the stocks and the chaos. But to For me, the main reason for that is, you know, okay, 4% of the population own Bitcoin, but very, very few of them, I think, truly understand it. I think a lot of people look at it like another stock. You know, I'll invest in this, hopefully I'll get a return, make more dollars. And it's extremely liquid. So when they get nervous and they panic, they quickly run to sell it, like they were going to dump a stock or something else. They've not understood that Bitcoin is just an upgrade to the rubbish money that they were using into a more superior money. So if they treat it like a stock, don't be too surprised, I guess, if they act a little bit irrationally. It doesn't make sense to sell Bitcoin for dollars. But when you're running around panicking and you don't really know what's going on, you can see why people run to dollars as safety. It's clearly an incorrect position, but I think that's what's going on.
Yeah, and not to be a wet blanket, but you make a good point that, you know, let's say 4% of the population owns Bitcoin or has some exposure, and much, you know, 1% or 0.5% understand it, you know, hold it in self-custody, run a node, all of that. Even 4%, though, is not a lot of people, right? It's not enough to retain its dollar-denominated value while most people still continue to view it as a tech stock. And I was talking with a friend of mine last night who's a hardcore Bitcoiner, is, you know, far enough along in his life. I think he probably has a stack he's comfortable with. And so he's trying to think about preserving purchasing power over a shorter period of time. And he was dumping some of his MicroStrategy from a retirement account he has, and he's going to buy gold. And his logic was, because so few people understand Bitcoin right now, even though Bitcoin is obviously the better long-term store of value, it's, you know, we're going to win, all that good stuff. Right now, what people do understand is a store of value continues to be gold on a broad scale. And so I think people just need to, he might be right, he might be wrong. That's not really the point. I'm not making a prediction, though I probably tend to think that makes sense. What people need to be prepared for is anything. And we're going to talk in just a moment about some of the people who are peddling, you know, numbers with vague timelines and, you know, all these things. But people just need to ready for themselves for anything. I mean, obviously, we believe right size your position around Bitcoin, but it's not about only have as much as you can lose. It's about understand your own timeline and what happens if Bitcoin tanks to 30. Well, what happens if it goes up to 5 million? You know, like, just you need to prepare yourself mentally for any scenario. And I think that's what makes, you know, gives Bitcoiners good fortitude, is like that preparation and those thought exercises. Tony, what's your thought on the markets?
I'm laughing at all the people who have to eat their words about the decoupling, you know, that were posted 48 hours ago. What happened to all these? Where's the decoupling? It's the recoupling now, right? The issue is that whenever you see this chaotic reaction in the market, it answers the fundamental question that, you know, many people ask themselves, am I late to Bitcoin? Whenever you see a crash like this, you absolutely know you're nowhere near late. In fact, fuck, you're still, you know, at the beginning of the line. Because clearly most people have no idea what Bitcoin really is, because they're still measuring it or looking at it from a lens that exists from within this failing system. Otherwise, why would you panic and, you know, run like a bunch of rats within the same playground, just going from one end to the other, thinking, you know, there's a better solution on the other side, when the whole thing is falling apart? So for me, it's a bit disappointing to see so many people fail, you know, on that basis alone. If you understand Bitcoin, none of this, first of all, most of this shouldn't be happening if most people who claim to understand Bitcoin just took it into self-custody and just ignored everything else, right? If enough people did that, you wouldn't see Bitcoin react, you know, in correlation to this mayhem. It would actually be a decoupling. And all that's required is for enough people to hold it in self-custody and to opt out. But most Bitcoiners are not the cypherpunks that started 16 years ago. They're the newcomers that are coming in to make, you know, the Lambo money, right? This is the Bitcoiners of today. And so when you have these idiots, you know, making these comments and these reactions, well, you know who they are, because they're the first ones to pull their skirts up and run when things get a little shaky, right? So we're very early to Bitcoin. If you understand it properly, you opt out, you learn how to hold it in self-custody, and you don't attach yourself to the words of one person, right? Like if your entire financial planning is based on the words of one guy or a room of 11 folks, you're crazy. The whole system is done. There's no way to fix it. Either you stay in it and keep, getting your ass kicked every once in a while, or you opt out and just watch it fail, because that's exactly what's happening.
Yeah, I completely agree. I think part of the challenge for most people is we don't know if the tariffs are a bargaining chip. We don't know if there's some master plan and Trump's playing 4D chess. We don't know if this is just complete idiocy, and we don't know how long any of this is going to go on. And that for me is what gives me peace and confidence, is that I have, I'm fortunate given my age, but I have a long time horizon, and I have a thesis that regardless of the dollar denominated value, do fiat currencies implode in the next 5 years, 50 years? It doesn't really matter. I think Bitcoin ultimately stores value. I believe the global free market's going to demand its use as currency, as a medium of exchange. Eventually, I believe it stabilizes to become a useful unit of account. And that's the bet I'm making. And so all the noise that goes on, I don't care if this is an 08 thing that goes on for a couple of years. I don't care if the money printer goes burr. I don't care if they suddenly, have austerity measures and they try. It just doesn't matter. So I think people need to be nice if everyone could sort of start to wake up to the realities of and the implications of having money that exists outside of all of this noise. Alrighty, let's move on. Speaking of noise, we're not going to watch the video because we don't want to get canceled based on our commentary. But Pete Hegseth, the Secretary of Defense, said, "Thank you, Mr. President. Coming soon, the first $1 trillion Department of Defense budget." And he says, "P.S. We intend to spend every taxpayer dollar wisely on lethality and readiness." So I don't know what their plan is, if they're going to take the Doge savings and they're not going to send me a $5,000 check and they're going to reallocate that to the military that's already bloated and spending thousands of dollars on nuts and bolts for fighter jets. But to me, I think the Department of Defense needs something like a 75% haircut, not a 25%-ish, increase in their budget. I mean, this is insanity to me. Tony, why don't you give your thoughts first?
Man, this is completely ludicrous. I mean, first of all, you have to ask yourself, why do you need a $1 trillion budget for the military if everybody loves America, right? Like, if everybody loves you, what do you need to protect yourself from? But the reality is not everybody loves you. In fact, most people don't love America. And the reasons are very obvious. It's because America traditionally, bombs other places, steals their land, kills their people, wants to tell other people how to live. And so they've alienated, like such a large portion of the population that no shit, you need $1 trillion to protect yourself. If you truly lead by example, which, everybody talks about the American dream and, we're the role models of the world. Well, then prove it. And you're not going to prove it with, threats and coercion. You're going to influence it by, providing value to the world. So this $1 trillion now, where's the money going to come from? So like you said earlier, if they're going to use the Doge savings, well, that doesn't cover the $1 trillion. So where's the balance going to come from? They're going to print it. So not only are they going to use that lethality, God knows where, somewhere, but they're using economic lethality on you, the American people, because when that printer goes burr, your purchasing power also gets castrated. So that lethality is both in-house and abroad. The separation of money and state is the only solution that resolves anything and has any hope in hell in putting America as the role model, if that's truly what it wants to do. Building a trillion-dollar army, that's not the message that it's sending to the world.
Yeah, it's insanity. But to their credit, we have 800 military bases around the world that need proper funding, Tony. So, you know, we'd hate to shut any of
those
down, right?
Of course.
It's expensive spinning up new military bases in, you know, in every country. Rick, give me the UK perspective on the US military budget. Hey, to be fair, you guys haven't been carrying your own weight for a long time, though. So,
well, I mean, listen, I'm not going to sit here and be all sort of vitriolic about, you know, oh, the US goes around and causes a load of trouble because I'm British, right? And we follow you everywhere you go. So, you know, we're the little terrier dog that you send in, you know, to go and help you guys out. So we're just as guilty as the US for exporting a bit of chaos, causing a lot of trouble in the world. But I don't want to get too sucked into the geopolitics of, you know, like militarization or any of the current conflicts going on, because like you say, we might get cancelled for that sort of chat. So what I will say is, you know, to Tony's point, where does the money come from? Where does the money come from? You know, you mentioned 200 billion savings in Doge. That doesn't cover it. So the only way they're going to raise this money is either by taxing citizens. But then that would be kind of opposed to something else that Trump's talking about, which is maybe getting rid of income tax. So, okay, if we're not going to pay it with taxes, then it doesn't really leave any other options than turning the money printer back on.
Tariffs.
And hey, listen, again, I can't speak for Americans, but I'm fairly confident if I was to go and survey all the Americans and said, you know, what's the most important thing to you at the moment? You know, what would really improve your life? I'm pretty confident that no one is going to tell me, well, Rick, you know what? I really just want a little bit more lethality in our military. You know, that's the thing that's missing. Well, you know, obviously what these people are going to tell me is like, Rick, my bread's too expensive. My eggs are too expensive. You know, whatever. Like, I can't afford to do this. I need better healthcare or better childcare. I don't think anyone's sitting around thinking, well, you know what? We might get invaded tomorrow, because no one's coming to invade the US. That's crazy. There's hundreds of millions of guns there. You'd have to be out of your mind. So, yeah, it's hard to say. But I think, you know, if we link it back to what we were saying in the previous topic, it's we need excuses to print money. The EU is doing exactly the same thing, right? So the US, we're going to spend $1 trillion on rearming and growing the military. The EU, these lunatics are saying, oh, by the way, you see your pension funds? Yeah, we're just going to borrow that for a minute and buy some guns with it, right? So, you know, I'm really sorry you're not going to have much of a pension, but we did kill all these kids. So, I don't know, you know, maybe that's good. It's, man, it's crazy, right? And I really think the thing that worries me the most is that maybe we are heading towards some more conflict here. You know, I don't think countries chuck a load of money at their armies when they think they're not going to potentially use them. The military-industrial complex wants you to use your weapons so that they can rearm you and sell you some more. So I'm a little bit concerned that, you know, maybe a bit of the smokescreen that covers up this collapse that we're headed towards with fiat is unfortunately going to be, you know, war and conflict. It's a really easy way to, you know, give your population a common enemy and distract from the mistakes and the mismanagement that you've done and said, no, you know, we've got to go over the bad guys. They're over there. And can be great cover for the fact that you've completely destroyed and routed your currency. So look, again, I don't know the future and I don't think anybody does, but almost everything I'm looking at is the money supply is going to expand. It's a very, very simple equation at this point. If that happens and continues to happen and even accelerates, then the value of your money and your savings is going to disappear. And I don't particularly like stocks, right? Because, you know, in a world full of conflict, betting on stocks, but I mean, it was always kind of gambling, right? You had to gamble in the stock market just because your money disappears. But now you're going to gamble in a stock market to protect your wealth in the middle of a global trade war that potentially becomes a kinetic war. If you're up for that and you think that sounds like a half decent plan, you know, you got a bigger set of nuts than I do, because that scares the life out of me. So, you know, it's all inflationary. They're going to keep printing money. The way to protect yourself is to get your Bitcoin, is to swap your money for Bitcoin. But crucially, it's not going to save you unless you self-custody it. Unless you're holding it yourself, you know, man, they're going to raid everywhere. They're going to raid all the exchanges, you know, just like the 6102 event where they took everybody's gold. They are coming for your Bitcoin. They're coming for your money. They're coming for your wealth. So keep as far away from them as possible. And maybe try not to get conscripted and sent off to some foreign war to get shot at as well, because that's not going to be much fun.
I think that is prudent advice. All right, let's move on to some fun stuff. All righty, so we talked about this a while ago. So Hoddle Magoose is just a retard. We talked about Plan B's just a scenario. So to his credit, he just laid out a scenario. He didn't say this was his base case, but... right now, it is April of 2025, so Trump started building the strategic reserve in this scenario, and Bitcoin should be at 400K, and next month is the EU joins the rat race. We should be at 500K. Long story short, by the end of the year, we should be at about $1 million before the drawdown and bear market. So far, not playing out quite that way. Instead, we have the strategic reserve, and Bitcoin has dumped. And the EU is telling the Czech Republic not to buy Bitcoin. They're warning Trump that he shouldn't be buying Bitcoin. So I don't see May and 500K Bitcoin likely, or not. I'm not making a prediction about the price. I'm saying his scenario as to why we might end up at 500K in May doesn't seem very likely. Tony, why don't you just lay out your thoughts on people coming up with these scenarios, presenting them to the public, the impact that it probably has on people who think that they're going to make some smart trade based on this sort of nonsense?
The reason Bitcoin isn't where we want it to be is because of idiots like these people who, you know, fuel engagement based on hopium. And a lot of the new people that come into this space, that's the first thing they go and they get, you know, a horny on. 500,000, 600,000, 10 million. You know, they hear that, and no wonder nobody understands anything, and they get tricked and make irrational decisions whenever something slightly goes off track. I mean, do you blame them? The type of garbage news that's being put out, you know, in hordes these days is appalling. You know, like, where's the real news? Where's the cypherpunk signals that, you know, form the foundation of understanding Bitcoin? That's what needs to flood the social media streams, not some dork, you know, playing, you know, putting his finger on a crystal ball and just throwing a number, hoping he's going to get 10,000 likes and 20,000 followers. You know, whenever people start talking like this, I automatically block them because I know they're a complete waste of time. And the issue is that you have to put out that fire. Because people still stay stuck in that fiat world. Oh, I'm into Bitcoin. It's the best thing since sliced bread because I'm going to sell it at $750,000. No, you're not. If that's your plan, that means you understand nothing. And you're likely going to sell everything way before $750,000 because something's going to go off. You're going to jump and you're going to panic sell and end up with a big fat zero. So ignore all of that monkey business. All of it is complete rubbish. It's like the equivalent of watching or reading the National Enquirer for real news, right? Like who makes financial decisions based on this trash? Bitcoin in self-custody, it's the separation of money and state. It's really three simple steps. You understand that fiat is failing. You opt out with Bitcoin and you learn how to hold it yourself. Kindergarten easy, three steps. That's all. And you can ignore everything else that's going on in the world if you master these three steps. And you'll be sleeping well at night, no matter what.
Yes. I probably should warn you, Tony. I tweeted out yesterday, a couple days ago, I said that I finally hit 1,000 followers on Twitter. Doesn't sound like a big deal, but that means 1,000. I don't have 20 people in my personal life who are, you know, actively listening to me. So to me, this feels like a big deal. And I said, it doesn't feel like enough, though. I'm considering joining the trend of making outlandish Bitcoin price predictions, simping for government and saying breaking before sharing non-breaking news. So if people do want to continue getting this sort of content, go follow me. It's at the other M Jordan. I'll be making price predictions soon. I just need to run some models and see where they land. Rick, what's your your take. And we're going to jump into a fun video that you're going to have more to comment on.
I'll tell you what, let's play the next clowns video first, and I'll talk about the whole mess of all of this stuff.
Okay, here it is.
I think we are entering a period where there's going to be a capital saturation moment, just like Tesla had in 2019, when everyone just decides that they need to own some of this asset. And then all of the $900 trillion of capital is going to pursue it on some level. I think Plan B, with his $475,000 target for this cycle, could be right. All the people that are saying it's only going to get to $200,000 this cycle could be right. But over 10 years, I think we're way above $1 million. So what BlackRock needs is they need Bitcoin going to $1 million, which, by the way, Larry Fink being on an interview saying Bitcoin could go to $700,000 a coin is unreal.
$600,000, $700,000 for Bitcoin?
I'm not a religious person, but there's one verse in the Bible, I'm going to completely butcher it, so forgive me. It's the verse about owning the truth and never selling. And I think that Bitcoin is truth because it is the best mirror that we've ever created as an investment class.
What is real? How do you define real?
You can't jump into cash. Cash is trash. What do? You get out.
Wow.
All righty.
The next Hollywood star has just spoken.
All righty.
You know, the dramatic music, the big numbers on the screen, right? It feels like an episode of Jaws.
It must be right for him to put that much time, for them to produce it so well and effectively. I can't see how he could go wrong. Although part of the challenge here is that he didn't make a real prediction. He said it could be 475, it could be 200 in the next 10 years. It's probably going to be above a million, which seems, you know, sort of obvious to me, best I can tell. But Rick, I think you probably have more to comment on with this video than even Tony or I.
Yeah, possibly. I mean, first, on behalf of Britain, I just want to make a very formal apology that some of my fellow countrymen would put such utter nonsense and consistent garbage out into the world, because it's not helpful, it's not misleading, it's sometimes entertaining, I'll give you that, right? But man, I mean, let's just deal with a few of these sort of price prediction style influencers that we're seeing everywhere now. So, you know, start with Plan B. He's been running that template of influencers for a while, right? Which is, look, I work in marketing. I know how this game works, right? You tell people what they want to hear and you repeat it ad nauseum. And the great thing about making price predictions is you can do it, you know, forever, infinitely. You can play that game forever. So there's always a source of content. There's always something to say. And if you're particularly bullish, a lot of people are going to like what you have to say. So there are lots of likes, lots of tweets, lots of reshares, right? But here's the problem. I mean, I've been aware of Plan B for years and years on end now. And I remember that the target price, I think in 2021 or somewhere around there, maybe even 2017 even, I can't remember. I don't pay enough attention to these models. But the claim was that we were going to hit 250,000. And today we're like, what, a third of that. So, you know, they're not just a little bit off the mark. They're consistently miles away. And look, I have a habit I know you guys find quite funny, right, of keeping receipts. So I have a couple of receipts that I've kept from our fine British gentleman as well that we've mentioned. So, I mean, back in March 5th, he tweeted, "As soon as a strategic Bitcoin reserve is announced by the USA, I think the selling of Bitcoin comes to a screeching halt for a while, and we go vertical. Even future sellers have to stop, pause, and reflect. I think that's why retail, not leverage, has been hunted and flushed out the last 2 weeks." So that was on March 5th. The price did not go vertical. I mean, I'm going to give some props to British HODLers. That's pretty tasty marketing, right? Like, it's pretty evocative. You see the way I read it, right? Like, it's like, oh, yeah, hell yeah, we're going to make a load of money. Okay, so that's just one receipt. Let's go and take a look at another. So a couple of days later, he posted, "This is a classic moment of buy the rumor, sell the news with Bitcoin, much higher by next week." And of course it dumped next week, right? But here's the problem. And then the video we just watched, right? Like, now let's think about this. He's now quoting in his little video the price prediction of Plan B, who just told us that insane scenario previously and whose price predictions have been consistently wrong. And to pluck a number out like $1 million in 10 years is just, look, it's meaningless fluff, right? It's saying a lot, but also saying nothing at all of any particular value. I mean, we can all play this game. I'll give you another scenario. Here's a scenario. Bitcoin goes to 2 million in 6 weeks' time, but then the tariffs get even worse and it comes back down to 20 grand or whatever. Here's something I can guarantee you, right? British HODL is not trading based on this market. I don't believe that he even places trades, because if he is, he should be broke by now, because you can see how far off the mark his predictions of where the market is going is. What these people do, the way they make money is they make money through YouTube subscriptions and through monetization on platforms. The only thing they're farming is your engagement. And the problem is that when your engagement is being farmed, well, there's nothing wrong with a little bit of entertainment. We all like it. But if you get too sucked into this world, the same thing will happen to you that happened to me. It's one of the biggest mistakes I ever made in Bitcoin, is I spent so much time focusing on the macro and getting sucked into listening to these influencers. And the truth is that years will roll past and you will not learn anything, right? Now, it makes you extremely passive. It's great to hear people tell you where the price is going to go, but they don't know and nobody knows. So where you could spend your time a lot better and almost guarantee that 3 or 4 years from now, your life will be better, your skills will be better, is go and learn the important things. Go and learn UTXO management. Go and learn about air-gapped transactions. Go and learn all the different hardware wallets. Go and get a Bitcoin miner and learn how that works, you know? And the problem is that these kind of influencers, they're never going to serve you that. You know, Manesh is also famous. You know, there's a lot of receipts about this chap, British HODL, that we also know is called Manesh. Like, years ago, we found the receipts that this guy used to peddle gold investment scams. So my advice would just be this, like, be careful who you listen to and put your time into something that's maybe more challenging, requires more effort to sit down and play with a tool and try and learn something you're not familiar with. But you know what's amazing is when you do that, the feeling of like accomplishment, you know, when you finally get your privacy phone to work or you finally get your node set up and everything connects and it works the way you expect it to, you will walk a bit straighter, you'll feel confident, and you'll actually be on your path to self-sovereignty and financial freedom. If you sit there all day eating popcorn and listening to this guy, you know, 200 grand, it could be 400 grand, it could be a million, you are wasting your most valuable resource, which is your time. So go and study the important stuff.
Proof of work, baby. Tony, what do you think?
Man, I don't even know where to start with this. If you're listening to any macro or micro about Bitcoin, in my opinion, in my honest opinion, none of it matters, because all of that conversation ties Bitcoin to the fiat world. Bitcoin has nothing to do with the fiat world. You know, there's no point of comparison. We've never had something like this before. The only thing you really need to understand about Bitcoin is that it's incorruptible. Right? Permissionless, trustless, no government can stop it, no bank can shut down your account, no one can sanction you from it, no one can stop you from using it. It's peer-to-peer. That's all you have to know. And it is already winning because its adoption is growing. So at some point, it's going to become the world reserve currency. None of these macroeconomic people can teach you what really matters. Is how to own your bloody money, right? Because that's what Bitcoin is. The revolution about Bitcoin isn't macro or micro and predictions. It's about self-custody, owning money that no one can take away from you or prevent you from using. It's not about predictions. It's not about trading it. It's not putting it in an ETF. It's not about involving an institution in the custodying of your fund. All of these bad habits are fiat minds that have still learned nothing. That is step one. You have to break away from that mold. Put it in the past. It's dead. It's all lies. It's all garbage. The future is personal responsibility and proof of work. You upgrade your money from worthless toilet paper to sound money. Once you do that, you learn how to hold it yourself and how to transact sending and receiving. It's not rocket science. It's just a bunch of new steps. That's all that matters. And once you get, once you understand this, one, your blood pressure is going to stay, you know, very calm. None of what's going on in the world will affect you mentally. In fact, it'll be more for entertainment purposes. This is why those that are sitting on the sidelines watching the world fall apart don't really react much, because it's inevitable. You have a system, a Ponzi, that's finished. The expiry date is here. We're watching it fall apart. You're trying to patch a hose. That's what the games our politicians are playing. It's not going to work. So if you remain in that system trying to listen to some video or someone who's going to tell you the words that you're looking to hear to make you feel better about your bad decisions, you're going to end up broke. It's very simple. The only solution is to opt out, in my opinion. So like you said, Rick, man, all of these people, they understand absolutely nothing. In fact, they're like very bad for Bitcoin, because they bring the wrong knowledge, the wrong info, and the wrong attention to something that is truly revolutionary. And it's a shame that so many people, you know, flock to this.
Agreed. So for all of our listeners, keep in mind these bullish prediction jokes that we've been talking about, because here's the punchline. In the last 24 hours, this is a day ago, I think, but $1.4 trillion liquidated from Bitcoin and crypto markets. So, or I'm sorry, $1.4 billion rather. So keep that in mind when you're listening to these influencers, you're listening to price predictions. The punchline ultimately is Bitcoin's going to do what it's going to do. Trying to trade it makes no sense. You're absolutely guessing. And the best thing you can do is just buy it, hold it in self-custody, and watch the world as it does what it does. Either you guys can comment on this. I think we've covered a lot of ground though.
No, move along, man. Enough of these clowns.
No, I think that's all we got for today. Rick, you wanna round it out with anything? Or are we good?
I'm sick of that. I'm really, really sorry that all of Manesh's followers seem to have got liquidated last week. That's a real shame.
Well said. Alrighty. For everyone listening, thank you for tuning in. As always, do me a huge favor. Go to thebitcoinway.com/podcast. Schedule a free 30-minute consult with a member of our team. We can help you take your Bitcoin into proper 100% self-custody. At some point, it is going to be your only option. You can begin to ignore all of the nonsense in the world. We also help with online privacy phones. We have a Plan B residency option as well. So everything you need for self-sovereignty the right way. Again, that's thebitcoinway.com/podcast. Do me a favor, if you're enjoying the channel, like, subscribe, comment, share it with someone. We would really appreciate you help us feeding the algorithm. And of course, we hope to see you again next time. Gents, as always, it's a pleasure. Look forward to catching up again soon.
Thanks, Michael. See you later.
Cheers.
Thanks,
guys.